Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
It's an amazing thing. We sing about the blood, but my message isn't about the blood. But without the blood, we wouldn't be able to have all the benefits that God wants us to have. Without the cross, we wouldn't be able to have the forgiveness, the redemption, the redemptive love that God wants us to have. It's an amazing thing. Blood is represented. It's cleansed. We're clean through the blood. We're washed. We're cleansed. Our old things pass away. All things become new. It's an imperative thing that the blood does an astronomical, amazing thing. But are you washed in the blood? And if you are, God's got some good things in store ahead for you. I'm not coming up here to jump on any bandwagon or anything like that, but there are some things that God has prepared for them that love Him, my brother and sister. And I believe there's those of us in here that love the Lord. And because we love the Lord, God has got some distinctive things that God has prepared for us. God's prepared for us love. God's prepared for us joy. God's prepared for us peace. He wishes above all that we prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. But we can't get that peace. We can't get that prosperity without loving God and without letting our soul prosper by reading His Word, by seeking Him.
Right.
See, we want to prosper in the material world, but we first got to prosper in the spiritual world. The Bible says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has an expected end for everybody, for all of us, but we have to stay on the straight and narrow. The Bible says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few be there that find it. It's an imperative thing that we follow on to know the Lord, the Scripture says. After we're illuminated, we're going to endure a great fight of affliction. But as I said this morning, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. See, God's Spirit lives on the inside of you, and God, the things that are of the Spirit are spiritually discerned, the Bible says. And God has prepared some things for us, and God wants us to know those things. And the only way we can know those things is to let God in us and let God through us and let God have all of us. It's imperative that He has all of us, every bit of us, every twinkle, every crack, every crevice. He must have it all. We must give it to Him all freely for Him to do this work. God's got some things prepared for us. Do you want to have them? Because if you want to have Him, you can have Him. You can have Him, my brother and sister. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what's going on in your world today. You can have the things that God's prepared for you because you love Him. The question is, do you love Him? And is it with the right heart attitude? And is it with the right motive? That's the ultimate question. Are you serving God for the things you can get, or are you serving God for the cross? You can seek healing and just seek God for healing. Just as people did in the Bible. They came to Him and sought Him just for healing. And then when they got healed, guess what? They didn't follow on to know Him. They didn't serve Him. But they came and got their healing and healed Him. Why? Because He's a gracious Father. He's a gracious Lord. God's got some things in store for us that He wants to manifest, that He wants us to receive. We receive salvation, then we need to receive the benefits and the blessing of salvation. There are other benefits than salvation and than just being saved. That is the grandest and that is the greatest. But there are other benefits, my brother and sister, to this salvation that we hold, to this forgiveness that we hold, to this love that we hold that God gave us. God has an end for you. All things work together for good to them that love God and all the called according to His purpose. You've got to love God. He's got to call you for them to work to good for the end. You can't just quote all things work together for good and just leave that scripture alone. You've got to quote the whole thing, my brother and sister. You've got to take this. We can't dissect and trisect and immigrate the Word of God and take this scripture and that scripture. We've got to let the Word of God lay where it falls, stand where it sits. It's got to stay right where it's at, line upon line, precept upon precept, the scripture says. But God has some things in store for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Loves you with an everlasting love. Wishes above all that you prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. God has some things prepared for you. That's the title of this message. It's not real long, but you know what? God, it don't have to be long. I'm not in a mold. I'm not trying to make anything happen. I'm just here to speak what Paul told Timothy to preach the Word. That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to preach the Word. I'm going to preach what He lays on my heart, and we're going to go home. If it's long, it's long. If it's short, it's short. We're just going to let God have His way. Turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 64. We're going to start on Isaiah, but we're going to go on into Corinthians because because these scriptures go hand in hand, and I didn't realize they went hand in hand until this afternoon. But God has some things prepared for us, and we've got to wait on the Lord. They to wait upon the Lord, they'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. Are you weary? If you're weary, you're not waiting on the Lord. If you're tired, you're not waiting on Him, serving Him, seeking Him. You've got to serve Him and seek Him. You've got to serve Him and seek Him. Amen. Can't just come to God's house from time to time expecting to get something of God. This is a dedicated life. This is the consecrated life that we must live in these last days. As we talked this morning about firm foundations. And if we're on the wrong foundation, we won't have any joy. We won't have any peace. And it's an amazing thing that, I don't know if I'm going to go to that scripture, but there's a scripture in here that talks about things that God has prepared for us from the foundation of the world. See, God's prepared something for us, for the church, for the believer, from the foundation of the world. And it's important that we receive it. Just as we receive the Holy Ghost, just as we receive salvation, we can receive healing. Why is it an imperative thing that we can receive salvation? We can receive the Holy Ghost, but we struggle receiving the healing. Because the enemy comes to us and he bombards our mind and we listen to too many people other than the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. It's the truth. Whether you want to accept it or not, that's the truth. Isaiah 64:4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. See, sometimes we get called and we get chosen, but we don't want to wait on the Lord. We don't want to wait for his timing. We're called, we've been prophesied over, we're going to go to the nations of the world, and we just want to go out to the nations of the Lord where everything's happening in God's timing. Everything happens in his time. And in the fullness of time, the Bible says, God sent forth his Son, born of a virgin birth. See, it was in the fullness of time that God the Father sent Jesus the Son to the earth. It was in God's timing. It was in God's plan. And it's in God's timing and it's in his plan that you receive all the benefits and the blessings of the promise through the scriptures and through the Word and through Jesus Christ himself. It's in his timing. Everything's in God's timing. We want to pray. And the Bible says the moment we pray, the tide of battle changes. It doesn't say the circumstances change. It doesn't say our surrounding circumstances. It doesn't say our husbands get saved right then and there or come back to Jesus or our healing takes place right away. But the tide of battle changes. Something happens in the heavenlies that we can't explain. Something happens and pushes back the forces of darkness. When Daniel prayed and fasted, the prince of Persia held up Michael the archangel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are times and there are seasons for everything. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to cry. And there's a time to receive from God. That time is now. That time is now, my brother and sister, that we receive everything that God prepares for us. Everything His Word declares unto us, we can receive. We can receive everything God's Word says. We can receive it. But we've got to have the right heart. We've got to have the right attitude. We can't be always negative. Be like the scripture says in Jeremiah. Be like the heath. Don't see when good comes. Always sees the negative. Doesn't see the green grass, but always sees the dry places. See, God's prepared things for us. I didn't come to talk gloom and doom tonight. I didn't come to tell you were backsliding on your way. I came to tell you that God has some things prepared for you, each and every one of you. You are distinctively, uniquely, wonderfully made in the eyes of the Lord. God has precisely made you in this day, in this hour that we live in, for such a time as this. But you've got to follow Jesus closer than you've ever followed Jesus in your life. It's an amazing thing. I've grew up here, and I got one of my Sunday school teachers sitting over there, so I don't want to go over there too much, but she could tell you some horrible stories about what this young man did as a little boy. But it's an imperative thing that God put His hand on my life, and when I came back to the Lord, God began to speak to me, and I began to tell my wife, honey, I'm going to begin to minister in the church. I don't know when it's going to happen. And I began to tell Joris things that God laid on my heart and dug in. I didn't tell everybody. Lord didn't tell me to tell everybody. I felt like I could tell those that that wouldn't go out and blabber right away or wouldn't laugh at me and make fun of me, because we live in a day where when God puts his hand on somebody, there's two things going to happen. They're going to be people rejoice, and they're going to be people mourn because of jealousy. Thank you for the amen. When y'all look to me to interpret messages, and God gives it to me, I'm going to interpret it. If not, I'm going to sit silent, and y'all just going to have to wait on the Lord. There's those of you in here that have that same gift. God's prepared it for you, and he wants you to begin to flourish in it and use it. Don't sit there and say, no, we did not, because yes, he did. We've all been given those gifts. It's just a matter of us yielding to the Spirit of God and us yielding to him and letting him use us as the Spirit of God gives us the utterance. Not as we will, but as the Spirit of God gives us the utterance. See, it's an important thing that we rely completely on the Holy Spirit, completely on him. I wouldn't be up here if I didn't depend on him to work. And I don't fret over it. I don't worry about it, because God doesn't want me to worry about the service. God wants me to seek him. God wants me to pray. But God doesn't want me to be under such a burden, under such a load. Oh, God, what's going to happen in night service? I don't have that when I minister. I leave it in God's hand and said, Lord, the service is yours. Whatever you want to do, you can do. I just leave it in his hands. But it's an important thing. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting to jump on the bandwagon, or are you waiting on God to move in your life, to change those areas in your life that you can't change, to change that situation that you're longing to change, that you have tried to work so hard and frustrated yourself to change, but you can't change it because it's not God's time. And too many times we try to get into the, especially us men, we like to try to figure things out and put our own hands in it. And we've got to have a formula for this, 5 ways to get the victory of God. Amen, us men. I mean, come on, we want formulas to why is this going on? Why is that going on? We don't have to explain anything other than we just have to know one thing. God is for us, and if God before us, who can be against us? If God before us, who can be against us? That's all you need to hold on to. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter the arrows that fly at you in the nighttime or in the daytime. You just got to know that God is for you. You've got to know that he loves you. Too many times, well, us humans, we don't understand the perfect love of God, because we've only known phileo love. We've only known natural love. Maybe we've had that father that didn't love us like he was supposed to, or that mother that wasn't there because she was out. Whatever the case may be, God wants you to get a deep understanding of his love. Maybe your parents divorced, I don't know. But God wants you to know one thing, that he loves you and he called you for such a time as this. He called and chose you specifically to be that intercessor that he's called you to be that witness that he's called you to be that light that you're supposed to be in this dark world. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians. Oh, thank you, Father, for this evening. Just have your way. Chapter 2. Sometimes we don't, you get somebody that comes in here that's very intellectual and they don't understand the things of the Spirit. There's a scripture here that's going to explain that. Because, see, the spiritual things, the natural mind can't understand. Neither can the natural mind understand the things of the Spirit. And I'm going to read it in its entirety here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the heart of you and me, my brother and sister, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I want to ask you a question. Do you love God? And if you do, then God's got some things prepared for you. There are things that are going to be good. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Didn't say he would make you rich. It said the blessing of the Lord would be rich. Thank you. That's the truth. I'm not trying to twist scripture, go around the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. I'd rather have the blessing with $5 in the bank account than have $500,000 with no blessing. Because that's the true blessing, see? What are you seeking after? What are you going after? Are you after naming and claiming? I'm not. We were flipping through the channels the other night, and I won't name the minister's name. I could, but I'm not going to. We were flipping through the channels, and I have never said nothing to my daughter about this gentleman or anything like that, but we were flipping through the channels, and I just happened to flip him on for a second because I got involved doing something else, and my daughter calls me in there, "Daddy, this guy looks like a devil," and I have not said nothing to my daughter or nothing, and I'm going to tell you something right now. He's got his followers. And it's an amazing thing, out of the mouth of babes, the Bible said. Out of the mouth of babes. And I just looked at my daughter and said, man, it's an amazing thing that my little girl could distinguish right from wrong and what is right and what is not right. And yet there are grown adults that just grab into the doctrine, grab into it by the thousands and buy tapes left and right. And I'm not against ministry, but I just want the truth. That's what I'm jealous for, the truth. I'm jealous for pure doctrine. That's what I'm jealous for. I have no problem with going and seeing certain ministers, but I want true doctrine. I want what the Scripture says. See, and I know people say, well, who are you, Brother Sean? I'm nobody. You're absolutely correct. But I am somebody. In myself, I'm nobody. But in Christ Jesus, I am somebody, and so are you. And we have a God-given right to discern the Word. To discern the Word, to let God be true and every man a liar. And if men are taking the Word of God and they're parading it and they're not being examples and they're being a lord over God's heritage, that's not what God wants. He wants us to be examples. He wants his prophets and his teachers to be examples in these last days. He wants his ministers to have a love for the flock of God where they feed it and not... They feed it and they don't try to take from it, but they feed it and they flourish it and it grows and it grows and it grows. And in the children of God, because of the minister and because of the man of God, they begin to grow and they begin to flourish like the day palm. And they begin to flourish like the cedars of Lebanon. These cedars are big, my brother and sister. They're huge. Like the rock you were telling me about before service, George. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to begin to flourish. He wants us to begin to grow up into the head of all things, which is Christ. See, it all comes back to Jesus. It all comes back to the center of the gospel. Without Christ, we're nothing. And without Him dying and bleeding and hanging on that tree, we wouldn't have salvation. We wouldn't have any of the benefits of the gospel. We wouldn't be able to claim our healing. We wouldn't be able to claim our salvation. And we wouldn't be able to say we're on our way to heaven. But thank God for the cross. It's because of the cross that we can, walk in divine help. It's because of the cross I can lay my hands on my children and them get healed and delivered. It's because of the cross of Christ where we can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It's because of the cross of Christ where people can get delivered, set free, and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. It's all because of the cross of Calvary. I want to ask you a question. What have you done with that cross lately? Have you just thrown it off to the side, or are you picking it up and following it like you're supposed to be? What have you done? God has some things prepared for you. God has some things prepared for you, but unless you're willing to follow Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and all your body, you're not going to walk in the benefits of this gospel. You're not going to walk in the blessing and the benefits of this thing. You've got to follow Jesus no matter if your husband does, your mama does, or no one else does. It's a personal thing. It doesn't matter if my wife quits God tomorrow, I'm serving Jesus. That's how personal it has to be. And I said it coming up teaching young people. It's got to be all for me or nothing. It's got to be all for Jesus or nothing. And that's exactly how God wants it to be inside each and every one of us. I'm not saying you're not going to have trouble. I'm not saying you're not going to have setbacks. But though a righteous man fall 100 times, the Lord will raise him up. Glory be to God. You can fall in the same conniving sin over and over again. But if you've got that heart that wants to serve God, God's going to raise you up. God's going to pick you up and dust you off. And oh, hallelujah, God's going to dust you off and send you on your way and carry you. There are times we can't carry ourselves, but we have to be carried on the wings of God's love. The wings of God's love. Let the wings of God's love carry you. I don't care what you're going through. God has prepared love for you. God has prepared blessing for you. God has prepared a life of vigorous life for you. The Bible says, and I'm not going on there. If you haven't gotten the tapes or heard the message, are you happy? Get the tapes. Don't get them because to benefit me. Get them to benefit yourself. Happy is the man that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help. See, it all comes back to Jesus. It all comes back to God the Father. It all comes back to the core. See, Jesus has got to be the core in every ministry. And you can always tell if Jesus isn't the core. You can always tell what a man's motive is. Is he building his kingdom or is he building God's kingdom? I mean, I don't know. I don't see the Holy Church of God building an $8 million sanctuary. I don't see us doing that. But we're going to build a glorious sanctuary to glorify God. Because we're going to need it. Because God's going to lengthen our cords. And God's going to strengthen our stakes. And we're going to begin to grow. Hallelujah. And souls are going to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I said souls are going to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because that's what it's about. That's our mission. That was God's mission. To seek and save those that are lost. That should be every Christian's mission. Is to seek and save those that are lost. I did not come, the Bible, Jesus said, I did not come to those that are well, but I did not come to those that need a physician, but I came to those that are lost, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I came to those that were blind and naked and hurting. That's who Jesus came for. Came for those that had leprosy. I mean, we got churches today where they've got preferred parking. I mean, they pay $20 to park up front, and if you don't have a Hummer or anything of that nature, you can't park up front. How sick it must make the Lord. How sick it must make Him. Because I know of a widow woman that gave two mites and gave more than everybody that was around. She gave more than all. How dare we get so pompous and so pious that we can just take everything and just say, you know what, those things don't really matter. Well, they do matter. I believe they do matter to God. I mean, are we trying to please man, the Bible says, or are we trying to be a God pleaser? Are we going to be a man pleaser or a God pleaser? Wives, are you going to please your husband? Or are you going to please your God? Husbands, are you going to please your wife? Or are you going to please your God? When it's time for God to take you into prayer and you're like, oh, spend some time with me, honey. Oh, the devil's conniving. He'll just send every distraction your way that he can possibly send your way. When God calls you out to pray and fast, it's an amazing thing, all the circumstances that come up and around you. It's an amazing how loud the phone will ring and how many times it will ring. But see, God has some things prepared for you. And that's exactly why the enemy does everything he can to distract us from going into the holy place, going into the consecrated place, going into the place where we can get that direction from the Lord. Let's go to verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. See, that's why the enemy does everything he can to distract us. And it's not all the enemy's fault. We have a flesh too. There are certain things we like to do. Our flesh doesn't like to read the Word and seek God and sit in His presence. Our spirit does. Our spirit loves to. That new man wants to. But that old man, that's why Paul said, the things that I would do, evil's always present. That I would do, I find not. That's what Paul meant. I mean, we've all dealt with it. We've all struggled. We've all gotten a Holy Ghost wind and said, oh, I'm going to seek God all this week. We did good Monday. The rest of the week, we shot it down. We're all laughing because we're all guilty. Even myself, we all get that it's easy to do it in here. Oh, God, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to read your 5 chapters of the New Testament and 5 chapters of the Old Testament all week long. And I'm just going to sit in your presence. And then the kids come home from school and the husband comes home with a bad attitude and just circumstances come up. You've got to go help your brother who's got a flat tire, whose car's broke down. And these things are all legitimate and they're all okay things except for the husband coming home with a bad attitude and the kids distracting you. Because, see, God has things prepared for us. And we can't understand them in our natural mind. We can't reason with our earthly mind. We've got to do it through the Spirit of God. We've got to do it through His Spirit. For what man knoweth things of a man, verse 11, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. See, the wisdom of man can't know the things of God. It's what this scripture's saying. but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. See, we haven't received the spirit of this world. That's why it says in 1 John 2:15 on down, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because see, it also says in James, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy with God. That's why I have such a hard time, such a struggle when we try to parade worldly songs into the church. Because see, if we're a friend of the world, we're the enemy of God. It's not because they don't have a good melody, they don't have a good saying, we're not trying to do something that's right. But I believe God will give us our own music. I mean, He's the real joy giver. We just sang about it. He's the real joy giver. And see, we don't take the sacrifices of Baal, the Scripture says, and offer them to a holy God. And see, it's time that men of God raise up the standard and stop some certain things. And hey, we've done it. We've sang, people get ready, you know, in the congregation. And you know, it's got a good melody and it could be Christianized. But guess what? God can give us our own song. We don't have to take Rod Stewart's song and try to Christianize it. And God does have a people He's getting ready. You know, we can start singing. She was on the tip of my tongue. She's got a song, People Get Ready. Jesus is coming. Crystal Lewis, thank you. She's got a song out that we can begin to sing, because God will put it on somebody's heart. And when God does it, it's so pure. It's so holy. It just makes us stop and melt in His presence and think on things that are above and things that aren't on the earth. See, God wants us to lay up treasure in heaven where the thief and the moth can't corrupt it, where it doesn't get rusty. See, God has some things prepared for you, but we can't receive those things that He has prepared for us unless we receive them through the Spirit of God. We've got to receive them through the Spirit of God. God loves us. God loves us. God has some things prepared for you that you, if you saw them coming, it would wow you. It would wow you. It would astonish you that God would love you enough to do that. He's no respecter of persons. If He gives somebody a car, then by His word, He's got to give me a car. He gives George a Hummer, then He's got to give me a motorcycle. And hey, I'm just using that as an example. Hey, there would be nothing wrong with George owning a Hummer, because I don't believe that's his heart. I don't believe that's his heart. I believe that he would probably drive it for about 2 weeks and sell it, and get him 2 Explorers, and he just got a witness. See, and give the rest to the give the rest to the church building fund, because that's what's important. That's what's important. See, we're gonna build a church here. Brother Venable's already declared it, that he wants to build a church. Now it's time for the people of God to line up with the man of God and begin to give. It's time that we put our money where our mouth is. We all want to see God move, and it's time that we put our knees in prayer where we say we want to move. But are we ready to pray until there's great drops of blood like Jesus? See, that's what He did when He went to the cross for you and me. He agonized. He wanted to go to the cross, but that was the flesh man wrestling. And our flesh man's always going to wrestle. It's always going to go against the nature of God. It's always going to fight against the things of God. That's why we've got to crucify our members thereof. We've got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We've got to put it to death, the Scripture says. We've got to put it to death. That's why it's so important that there are times and seasons that we pray and that we fast. And hey, I'm not telling you when to do it. That's between you and God. And when you do it, you don't need to toot your horn. And it's something that's done in secret. And what God sees in secret, He will begin to reward openly. See, it's the secret. It's in the secret place of the Most High where we learn all the things that we need to learn and all the battle plans that God wants us to have. It's those secret times and those secret moments alone with God that He begins to deliberate and delegate to us the battle plans for battle. You see, David wouldn't move until he saw the mulberry bush move. Why? Because it was a sign of God, between God and David, that God was with him and that they were going to win the battle. Too many times we get ahead of God instead of waiting on God. I read earlier that we've got to wait on the Lord. We've got to wait on the Lord. See, it's in God's timing. It's in His moment. It's in His purpose. It's in God's timing. You want your kids saved yesterday, but it's in God's timing. And the Bible does say today is the day of salvation, but too many times we've had people come down to altars and get big old alligator tears, and 2 weeks later they're back in sin. And you know what? God's bigger than that. God's greater than that. I'm not saying it's God's fault, because it's not. See, men and women have a choice. Boys and girls have a choice. There's going to be a love for God in these last days that have to sustain all the peer pressure and all the nagging of the world of, oh, you're a Christian. And see, it's not even going to be just a Christian. It's going to be a disciple of Christ. Because a disciple of Christ, the Bible says, is a disciplined one. And God wants us to become disciplined in these last days. We must become disciplined in these last days. It's imperative that we become disciplined. Disciplined in our thought life. Disciplined in our home life. Disciplined in our financial life. Disciplined in our love life to God and to each other. That God wants us to become so knitly joined together that when one of y'all are hurting, I'm sensitive enough to the Spirit of God to know it and just go and, if need be, put my arms around you and hug you. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Sometimes you just need to go and hug or go up and say, hey, brother, I love you. I just wanted you to know that. Sometimes that'll mean more than anything. A word fitly spoken in season is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver, the Scripture says. That's why it's important to let God flow in you the way He wants to flow in you. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And see, God wants that living water that's in you to begin to flow out of you. Wants it to flow out of you. And if you want to go to sleep, I'll take care of that when we get home. He wants it to flow out of you. He wants it to flow out of you. God wants that living water. Christ came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. More abundantly. Now, the abundant life I'm talking about doesn't have anything to do with material possessions. And I don't believe that's what our Lord and Master meant, is having material blessings. Those material blessings are going to come, but that's not the root and the source of us having the abundant life. Us having the abundant life is having abundant joy, having abundant peace, having abundant fellowship, having abundant love with each other and with God the Father. That's the abundant life. Knowing that all things are going to work together for good no matter what circumstance is going on in our life. Because we love God and we're the called according to His purpose. But you've got to love God. You can't just say all things are going to work together for good because I'm a good person or because I go to church. The devil goes to church too. Boy, I got quiet when I said that. He does. He goes to church too. He doesn't come in here with some pitchfork horns. He goes to church too. So just because you come to church don't mean you're a Christian. Thank God most of you in here I know. And I know you want to have a heart for God. God has those things prepared for you. Prepared for you. Prepared for you. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because the things of God are spiritually discerned. They're not naturally discerned. See, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do you understand what God is trying to say to us tonight? He's a Spirit. We can't try to put Him on the level of humanity, because He's not. He's God the Father. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ, my brother and sister. It was put in you the day you were born again. However, you've got to put off the old man and put on the new man. You've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's why you've got to take that time alone with Him. And we all know when we don't get that time with Him, how circumstances come up, how things don't go as smoothly as they go because we haven't had that quality time with Him, how short-tempered that I become when I'm not in His presence or not in the presence of the Lord, how I'm very agitated very easily because I'm overtired, because our strength says in the Scriptures our strength comes from the Lord. It's not of us. It's not in ourselves. The Scriptures also says our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it is of the Lord. Everything comes back to the Lord. Everything comes back to the cross. Everything comes back to Jesus. Everything comes back to Him. But the natural man, verse 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. I mean, you've heard it. You've been serving God long enough to know. People make fun of us Pentecostals because it's foolishness unto him. It's foolishness to the natural mind. It's God. When I was coming up working for Publix, before I got into management, I had a boss that was meaner than a snake. You know, we have a good relationship now because I've grown up into a man and God used him as sandpaper on me. I didn't like it. It wasn't fun, but God used him. I look back now and say, man, you used him, Lord. Taught me how to become a better worker, even though I didn't like it. Taught me how to become... there's times we just don't like to work. You know, one preacher said we play at our work and work at our play. You'll get that in just a second. See, it's imperative. See, God used him and he would get in my face and yell and scream and cuss at me, and I was serving God and I would take it. It was hard. I'm not saying it wasn't hard. I would bite my tongue. Because if I didn't bite my tongue, God help me, I would have probably been fired. I would have probably been fired, but God helped me, and God gave me grace sufficient. God gave me the grace sufficient to go through that. And there was one incident where I grabbed him by the shirt, but that I will explain that situation. We had what you call food furniture, and you've probably seen them in the grocery stores where you put it up against and you spill off broccoli onto it. Well, y'all would too after I get done, but I was filling it up, and he came in a bad mood. It was just like the devil. We had a glorious Sunday service. I mean, I was excited. I was excited about what we just learned in the Word through the pastor, and I went home, and I prayed before I went to bed. I got up the next morning, went to work, and I'm filling it up, and I've about got the truck done. It's only 7 o'clock in the morning, and he's ranting and raving, why ain't the truck done? I'm like, I got one float left to work. What do you mean the truck's not done? So I go to work, and he comes over there. I don't need you to run your mouth today, blah, blah, blah. And he picks up the food furniture and lands straight on my toe. Now, I am human, and so are you. I can take a lot of things, but when something that deliberate comes over and hits me on the toe, it was just a reaction. I mean, I didn't have time to think. It was like I grabbed him like that, and my assistant produce manager grabbed me and said, Sean, and thank God they grabbed me, because God knows what I would have done next. But, you know, that's human. There are times we're just going to react without us even realizing it. But see, God wants us to be able to react the right way. God wants us to be able to react through the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be able to say, okay, what would Christ do? You know, Christ taught some pretty amazing things. You know, if he said, if a man smites you, turn the other cheek. I don't know a man in here that could do that yet, only by his helping grace. I mean, if a man slaps me in the face, my natural reaction is to cold cock him. That's just my natural reaction. I mean, I am human. George's famous saying, I'm going to tell him my brother. George's famous saying is God don't say to which cheek to turn, so... Y'all can, is it yours? So y'all can get the gist of that. But see, God is just so gracious, and God is just so loving that He would tell us to hang in there because I've got good things prepared for you. And there's things God laid in your heart that He's prepared for you, or God would not have given me this message. There are things you're holding on to that God has prepared for you, and He wants you to hold on just a little longer. He that shall come will come, and he will not tarry, the Scripture says. He will not tarry. He that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. What are you waiting on? Whatever it is, I've got good news for you. Hold on just a little longer. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Is it that lost loved one? Is it that move of God that you've been longing for and expecting? Hold on just a little longer. God's going to come through in his time. God's going to come through in his time. God's going to come through in his time, not our time. We want God to move yesterday. We wanted our pastor not to work 7 years ago, but guess what? He's still working. But in God's time, that's soon going to come to an end. In God's time, that's going to come to an end. I don't know when that time is, and neither do you, because we've tried to figure it out. We've tried to figure it out. But you know what? It's okay, because God's got his hand on this place. God's got his hands on this ministry. God's got his hand on you and me, and God's going to work everything out in his plan and his timing. God's going to work it out, because we can't try to reason in ourselves. We can't try to figure it out. See, that's why the Lord gave me this message today. And it ain't nothing grand. It ain't nothing glorious. But you know what? It's God's word. And it's his word that we need to follow. It's his word that we need to obey. Not mine or not anybody else's, but him and him alone. He is the Lord of glory. He is the King of Kings. He was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten. It's important that we take His Word, and we take Him at His Word. We literally take Him at His Word. Too many times we forfeit the blessing of God. We forfeit the miracle of God because we lose hope. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But see, after we get that hope, after it comes, something happens on the inside of us. After we get the promise, something happens. Something supernaturally happens on the inside of us. All of a sudden, we become alive. All of a sudden, there's a new hope on the inside of us that God's with us and that God is for us. And I've got good news for you, my brother and sister. God is for you, and God is not against you. If you've got sin in your life, I've got good news for you. Get rid of it and let God come for you. Let Him be for you and not against you. As long as you're not living right for Him, He can't be for you. But if you live right and live unto Him, He can be for you and not against you. I'd rather have God with me than against me. See, the wrath of God's worse than the wrath of the devil. Thank you for the amen. The wrath of God is worse than the wrath of the devil. God mad at you, upset with you because you're under God's correction, is worse than any arrow the enemy can throw at you. Because why? Because this. Because when God is for you, the enemy's going to fight you. The enemy's going to come against you, but you have a knower on the inside of you when you're right with God, that God is with you, God is for you, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper, the Scripture says. But see, that's the key, is getting God for you. And if God isn't for you, back up, take a few moments, look back on your path you've been walking down, and change it if need be. See, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few be there that find it. See, when we look at that Scripture, that passage of Scripture, the straight is the gate, that Scripture is talking about life's choices. See, we've got choices. There is a way which seems right unto a man, the Scripture says, but the end thereof is death, in Proverbs. We all think that we're going the right way. We all think that we're on the straight and narrow. But only God knows, and only you know in your heart if you're really on the straight and narrow. And if you're not on the straight and narrow and you've got one foot off and one foot on, you've got to have both feet on the straight and narrow. You've got to have your heart cleansed before the Lord. Who can ascend into the hill of the Lord but he that has clean hands and a pure heart? You can't receive these things that God has prepared for you without a pure heart. Can't receive them unless you've got a pure heart to serve him. And God knows and tries the reins of the heart, the Scripture says. God knows and tries the reins of the heart. I don't try them. That's why this service ain't a big burden to me. I'm as free as I can be when I minister, because I just let God have His way. See, it's God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure, as long as you allow Him to do that, because you have a will. You have a will. You can either tie up God's hand or you can loose it. So what are you going to do? You're going to tie it up or you're going to loose it? Are you going to loose it? Hallelujah. I am going to read this scripture. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. You don't have to turn there. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Inherit what? The kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. See, God has prepared the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. See, God has some things prepared for us that we don't know. Heaven's going to be so glorious. Heaven's going to be so magnificent that our jaws are going to drop because of the King of Glory. I'm not worried about the streets of gold. I want to see my King. I want to see my Master. I want to see the man that bled and died for me. I want to see the man that was resurrected on the third day. That's what I want to see in heaven. Jesus went and He's preparing that place for you. There is a name in heaven that God gave you. There's a name that God gave you that only God knows. It's not Terry or Dell or Doug. It's a specific name that He gave you in a white stone. And God went to prepare a place for you and me, my brother and sister. And He's there preparing it. And when He sounds the trump, we which are in Christ Jesus are going to be caught up in the air. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and ever so shall we be with the Lord. We're going to be with the Lord, and when the time comes, heaven's going to come down here on this earth, and we're going to reign in the new Jerusalem. We're going to have a new heaven, and we're going to have a new earth. Glory be to God. That's what we're living for, eternity. We're living for eternity. Eternity is what we're living for. We're not living for the moment. We're living for eternity. If you can't be happy because you're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you've been washed in the blood, you just don't understand what you have. If you can't be happy with that, anything else is just an added bonus. But that should be the pure joy and delight of our heart, is that our sins are forgiven and our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, Jesus said, don't marvel that demons are subject to you. Don't rejoice that demons come out, but rather rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because it's more powerful that your name be written in that book than anything in this world. Than anything in this world, that your name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. So our stinking thinking's got to go. We've got to stop trying to figure everything out. Well, if I can just do this or I can just do that, then God's going to do this. Hogwash. Baloney. See, God wants you to get in His presence. God wants you to get into that secret place of the Most High. That secret place where He can speak to you, where He can talk to you, where you put aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset you. See, we're in a race, my brother and sister. The Bible says, he that endureth till the end, the same shall be saved. He that endureth till the end. Don't matter if you got saved 20 years ago, what are you doing right now for the Lord? Has God got some things prepared for you? God can't even delegate them to you or give them to you if you're not serving Him with that true contrition heart. God loves you. God knows the thoughts that He thinks towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's what the Scripture says about you. That's what the Scripture says about God the Father to you. Would you please stand? Man, I didn't expect to go this long. I only had three Scriptures. That's all the Lord gave me tonight, was three Scriptures. There they are. Three Scriptures. But no, I'm not apologizing. I'm just awestruck at what God can do and What will we allow him to do? Because he's magnificent, he's glorious. And Doug, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, give us the worship. And if you need prayer, do not hesitate. We will pray with you. We will pray for you. If there's an illness in you, we will pray and the Lord will raise you up. See, I don't have to worry about anything, because when we lay our hands on the sick and we call the elders, the Bible says, and the Lord will raise them up. It's not in us to do the healing. It's up to God to do the healing. It's up to Him. He has all the power, all the glory. He's got it all. It's in Him that dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah.